From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Joining me on the program today, it's Christopher Bond from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Christopher recently released a new album under the name Moon Palace. He balances his professional creative life between his own songwriting, performance, and teaching. I had a chance to chat with Chris about his latest album and the reality of building a life as a creative.
You have to envision a life for yourself as a creative person, self-employed, doing all of this, making all of this yourself. You have to have a vision, and that vision, as you go along, gets totally changed as you learn about what it means to actually, you know, make a life.
Coming up, it's Christopher Bond and Moon Palace. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Visit woodstovehouse.com this week for details about our first Creativity Conference in Lancaster coming up on Saturday, October 20th. Creativity Con 2012 will be held at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster and will feature a handful of guest speakers telling their stories and inspiring you to ignite your creative fire. Check out future episodes of Around the Wood Stove or visit creativitycon.com to stay in the loop about Creativity Con 2012. Our good friends from the York County-based band Kingsfoil released their brand new single last week on iTunes. It's called What Your Mother Taught You, and it's the first single from the new full-length album, A Beating Heart is a Bleeding Heart. The album will be available on iTunes on September 25th, with a CD release party at the Chameleon Club right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on Saturday, September 29th. Here's a taste of the new single from Kingsfoil. It's What Your Mother Taught You on Around the Wood Stove. That's What Your Mother Taught You from Kingsfoil on Around the Wood Stove. Go grab it on iTunes today. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Christopher Bond from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Christopher recently released a new album under the name Moon Palace, but his original works are only a slice of his vast portfolio of creative work. Here's Christopher Bond on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Christopher Bond from Westchester. Not originally, but from Westchester now. Welcome to Around the Wood Stove.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So you have a new album that just came out under the name Moon Palace. And this was from June. Talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the album a little bit, but I'd like to also talk about the bigger picture of your music and your creative life, because it's far beyond just this one project. But let's start there. Let's start with Moon Palace and this new album. Congratulations on it. It's a fantastic record.
Thanks.
We're going to be playing some tracks from it throughout the throughout this program. Can you talk about the making of this album to get us started?
Sure. Yeah, it was about 2 years in the making. And I did almost the entire thing on my own at my house. Set up a little recording rig with my computer. And I have a... She's almost three now, but I have a little girl. And so I had no spare time on my hands at all.
Right.
So my songwriting became recording a snippet on my phone and then, you know, taking it home and listening to it, scribbling some lyrics down. And then I got software on my computer, so I started fooling around with loops and doing kind of weird guitar sounds and just building songs up in whatever way I could. And it was just this long process of, okay, 5 hours this week, 2 hours this week, just keep putting time into it. And I think having no time meant that it didn't get overcooked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in the past when I've tried to do that, it just, you know, it's easy to just put too much time into something. So I did that, and then at a certain point decided I needed some other people involved. So I did a Kickstarter and raised some money so I could go into a studio in Philly with Andrew Lipke, who's a great singer-songwriter, and he also has a project studio in his house.
Okay.
So we did three songs there with me, Andrew, and Brad Hinton, who's a fantastic Philly musician, all kind of trading instruments and just, you know, building these songs up. And then Andrew and I mixed the whole thing together. So, you know, kind of started out as my own thing and then grew into something bigger than that.
It's an interesting sound. You're bringing, one could say singer-songwriter kind of songs, but there's so much more happening. It sounds like that's not inspired by a live band. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
So where did that come from? Where did the inspiration to layer these songs with these different sounds come from?
Well, that's always been my fascination in listening to music, is the bands that would, you know, that was the big idea in the 60s, is using the studio as an instrument.
Right.
And, you know, all, like, I love Beach Boys and, you know, the later Beatles records, and then, you know, everything else. And Radiohead was huge for me when I was in high school. So I was really, really fascinated with listening to that, but never felt like I had the facility to do it myself.
Yeah.
And then when I put out my last EP, it wound up being a lot more conservative than I wanted it to be. Like, it sounded like a guy with a guitar and a couple extra little bits here and there. But it was just me and a guitar. And with this, I wanted it to sound like, it felt like Moon Palace was like Sgt. Pepper's. Like, I wanted to make up a band that's playing all of this, but it's just me doing it. And the easiest way was to... You know, if you use drum loops on a computer, the easiest way to make them feel natural is to mess them up a little bit.
Right.
You know, and if I just plug my guitar right into the computer, the easiest way to get that to sound good is to not try and make it sound like a beautiful guitar recorded with a beautiful mic in a beautiful room in a great amp, but instead just make weird noises with it. And so... doing all of that, and then, you know, if I want it to sound big, then just layer my vocals and do that kind of stuff. So it was inspired by things I love, and then also I think it was just the kind of practical way to make a big sounding record
in a very small space.
Yeah, in a single room. Yeah.
Are you able to play these songs this way live now?
I do a band sometimes. For the CD release, I did a band. I'm playing a couple shows coming up through the fall with the same people. So it's me, and then Brad plays electric, mm-hmm. and he plays lap steel, and then a drummer and a keyboardist. And so it gets
close then.
Yeah, it does. Like there's this kind of this big ambient push, and then my acoustic guitar and the drums kind of have this, you know, hang the rhythm together, and then there's a lot of other sounds happening.
Here's In Our House by Moon Palace on Around the Wood Stove.
When you spoke of love, I think you meant the wild kind, tearing at my chest. You skinned your knees so white, put your red dress on, laughing like a nervous bride. Bring me to your lips, whisper deep inside.
Let's dig back into. So you're a native of Central Pennsylvania, right?
Sort of. Yeah.
Well, not a native.
Yeah,
but a partial native, right?
Yeah, from adolescence onward. Yeah,
lived in New York,
mm-hmm.
Right across the river from where we are now. What was that? What was your teenage or your high school creative life like?
Well, I picked up guitar when I was 12 or 13, sometime in middle school, and I just had an acoustic guitar for a couple of years and just really banged on it all the time. Like, I picked it up pretty well, but never took lessons or anything. And then I picked up an electric guitar, and from then on through the rest of high school was just always playing music with people. I was always in bands. I was in a bunch of punk rock bands with my brother and his friends. And also, kind of at the same time, so it was, you know, kind of writing songs, doing that thing, doing the punk rock thing, like just do it yourself, three power chords, and just
right.
go for it. And at the same time, was friends with this group of people who were very, very into like jazz and music theory and just jamming all the time and like building weird chord structures and just really kind of the intellectual side of it, which I look back and the kind of the group of people that I, you know, got to play with when I was in high school, it's amazing. Like, I don't think everybody gets that experience when they're a teenager, but I mean, I got it. Like, my one really close friend is now a professional flamenco guitarist, and he lives in New Mexico. My other friend is he's like a jazz bass genius and just, you know, taught me all sorts of crazy stuff. So I had...
It's a wild contrast.
Yeah, yeah. And it was all stuff. And it was all happening in, you know, teenage, like, just parties, hanging out. But we always had a goal, was to, like, play music all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that translate then into what you did after high school?
Well, through all of that time, I was never just picking up a guitar and writing my own song. It was either doing a band thing or just jamming. So when I got to college, I found myself in, art school where people want to play music, but they don't necessarily know how to play music. So, I was jamming, but it wasn't really, didn't feel like anything was really pushing me. So I got a little digital 8-track and just started recording my own stuff. And just started writing songs. Those were like the first, full songs I had written, and I have CDs of them, and I like cringe when I listen.
Oh, sure.
To them. But yeah. I mean, everybody has to do that.
It's your notebook if you're an artist. You're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look at those old or your high school poems, right?
Oh God, yeah.
All the writers in the room are putting their heads in their palms, right? So you were in art school. What path were you on in art school?
I went for painting.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was. I still don't know why I went to art school. Like it was I look back and it was between art, music, or I wanted to go for physics. Do like quantum physics. It was between those three things. And I think I went to art school because I got a scholarship.
That's a good reason.
Like, okay, I'll do that. But, that's something you have to be really, really passionate about it. You can't do anything with a, bachelor's of fine art in painting, like, unless you're really passionate about it. And you want to do something with it. So It taught me a lot of, like, the classes and just being with those people taught me a lot about the kind of the creative process, about, like, the demons that you can run into in the creative process, like just the self-doubt and the constant questioning or the kind of egomania and the, like, getting really, really caught up in yourself. Like, I saw all of that. So it was a fantastic experience, and I still refer to it, but the whole time I was playing more music than I was ever picking up a paintbrush.
What about those demons? Let's talk about that a little bit. How have you dealt with that over the years?
Well, I've always been a very self-critical creator. So that was my, my particular, whatever, the forces conspiring against me were the, like, the inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
And that, speaking of looking at your old notebook or looking at your old poems or whatever, I look back at that stuff and I see me getting caught up in the critical process while I'm still trying to get something onto the paper, even before I've, like, just gotten anything out, even before I've, like, ridden that emotional moment and put something out there, I'm already caught up in what are people going to think of this? How does this compare to, X, Y, and Z? Like, what are you doing here? Why isn't this better? Just the critical voice.
Yeah.
I see all of these things getting nipped in the bud before they had a chance to grow on their own. And so that was my big creative breakthrough in songwriting, was just write. Just write and write and write and just get it down. Write 10 more verses than you think you're going to need. And then you can let the critical, rational editor come out, because it's helpful then, because you need craft. You need to structure it. But that can't be part of your inspiration, because it just immediately throws water on that flame, and you wind up sitting there just trying to crunch numbers to create something, and nothing comes out.
I did not cry.
Mad with Love by Moon Palace on Around the Wood Stove.
So you spent several years teaching songwriting at St. Francis University over in the middle, almost the western part of the state,
mm-hmm.
Loretto, Pennsylvania. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, so that was, it was part of a whole kind of long weekend, week-long kind of crazy hippie retreat up at this Catholic university who were kind enough to, you know, let all the crazy people roll in. So it was a big hand drumming workshop, a big African drumming workshop happening. And at the same time, there was this kind of smaller songwriting workshop happening.
Okay.
And so it was, you know, it was a very, very cool vibe.
Who organized it? Was it the school or was it somebody just using the space?
Well, it started as, it was organized by Jim Donovan, who was the drummer in Rusted Root.
Okay.
And he teaches drumming workshops. He comes out here sometimes, but he started the drumming side of it. And then my friend Paul Berkoven, who lives up in the State College area, and has a band called Berkoven and Corson. He just came to teach it like a little songwriting module, and it quickly turned into this big workshop. And I came in and taught it with him, and we kind of structured it together. So the whole thing, you know, we had people who had never written a song before. We had people who didn't sing, didn't play instruments. Then we had people who were playing every weekend and were, you know, doing it all the time. So it was this crazy spectrum of people.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. But the basic creative process is the same for anybody. And, you know, most people learn how to write songs, I think, on their own, sitting in a room, just doing it, finding their own way that works. And, you know, people get into bad habits or they get into like a rut. And so a lot of our angle on it was to find different ways to approach a song. So let's write a song starting with a rhythm. Let's write a song starting with a melody. Let's start a song writing with the words. Let's start a song writing with just write for 10 minutes straight and just, you know, vomit out a whole bunch of words, and then let's just pull a song out of that.
So if I've never written a song before,
yeah,
and I think, oh, it might be cool,
mm-hmm.
Could come over here and check this out. You know, how easy is it or hard is it to write that first song?
I don't know. It looked really easy for all of our students that had never written a song before. Like,
maybe it's easier for a student who's never written a song before versus the person, like you said, who's mimicked their favorite artists for 5 years in their bedroom.
Sure.
And haven't been able to reach that goal.
Yeah.
Of, you know.
I think it's easier when you're in a room with 30 other people and everybody is writing their own song at the same time. Like, there's a lot of juice there. Like, everybody gets going, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's
some good energy flying around.
Yeah, that's probably an ideal place to write your first song. And some amazing songs came out of it. And, like, people were really surprised by what would come out. But I don't know about that first song thing, because I watch my toddler, or she's not a toddler anymore. I watch my 2-year-old walking around singing to herself, and she's writing songs.
Yeah, like, right.
And I remember doing that. I remember singing to myself when I was in the bathtub when I was like 4, singing songs about like cowboys. Just, I have this distinct memory of that realization that all of a sudden I realized that there are people on the other side of that door who can hear me singing. And so I have to pay attention to that. But at some point that disappeared. That got covered over by, you know, just adolescent angst and,
sure,
you know, and
judgment.
Judgment and that confidence thing that I can't do this as well as, you know, that person can.
Yeah.
So I better not do it at all. You know, that whole cycle.
What did you take away from teaching a songwriter retreat for 5-6 years? Well, you know, how did it benefit you?
Well, it means now when I sit down to write a song, I have, first of all, I have this just big like toolbox that I didn't have before. Because when you teach people, all of a sudden you formalize these ideas that you've had or you've sort of worked with or you've talked about it with somebody else. All of a sudden you turn that into this form that you can follow.
Yeah.
This like set of steps. You do this, you know it worked last time, just do it again. And that's not about, okay, you write a song with like verse, chorus, verse, chorus. It's not those kinds of steps. It's like the kind of steps like give yourself half an hour of time, just start writing something, or like start recording and just play guitar for a while. Those kinds of, you know, just these simple ideas. So it means that when I sit down now, I don't have an excuse. Like,
that's true.
I can always write a song. You can, it might be a really bad song, but you can always write a song.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with performing artists and those who make the performing arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. And if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located on the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. And now back to our conversation with Christopher Bond from Moon Palace on Around the Wood Stove.
You make a living playing music, and there are so many musicians that I talk to on this program who are not quite at that. They may be touring the country, but they may be touring it and then coming back and going to work somewhere that they're not really that pleased about. So I'm curious about some of the decisions you made to make music your livelihood, your occupation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was definitely a process that felt accidental at the time, just sort of stumbling along, and having this deep aversion to office work. I've tried, and I, you know, ironically, you know, a good portion of my time now is spent, you know, emailing people, calling people, setting up my website, blah, blah, blah. But it's under this banner of being a musician, so it doesn't get to
me. It's not as bad.
Yeah, but
but just think if it was insurance that you were emailing about.
I think about that all the time. It started out selling musical instruments. I worked at Menchie's in York.
Right?
Yeah, for a couple years. So it was the first job I ever had where it was at all related to music, and it felt way too peripheral for me. So I started teaching at Menchie's, and that was the first time I had ever gotten paid for this thing I had spent all of my time like obsessing about when I was a teenager, all this music theory stuff and all of that. All of a sudden, like, people are coming to me and I get to tell them about it and they pay me. It was really, that was a big deal. And so that just kept growing, and I taught a lot for a while. I taught 6 days a week. I had 50 students. You know, I was really gung-ho about it, and just I got burnt out after a while, and then we had our daughter, and just I couldn't quite. I found myself like starting to fall asleep while I was teaching. Like, I gotta get some variety here. So I play classical guitar. So I thought, like, okay, like, just do that. Find places to do that. I started playing weddings, just putting myself out there.
Yeah.
And it's something I always, you know, I was like, I was a punk rocker. Like, I had a big aversion to like bar bands and that right. whole world. Like, I've never been able to do that. But the classical guitar thing and weddings gave me a way in that felt good. Like, there's so much positivity around it. People are so grateful, and I get to be a part of, you know, probably 100 people at this point, you know, 100 couples. I've been a part of their wedding, which is
pretty
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
So it's been that and teaching, and then doing kind of that lets me treat my own creative work, you know, all the Moon Palace stuff, as it, I can take the pressure off of it, where I can do it purely for the love of it, and what, and that makes it more lucrative in a weird way. I find that I'm less stressed about it, so I have more energy to put into it.
It's interesting how people will pay you for things that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that creative people have a real hard time grasping.
Oh, yeah. And it never looks like what you think it's going to look like. It, you know, it winds up being its own, you know, this mishmash of these opportunities that come to you and other people that support you and become interested in what you do. Like, those are all things that I never accounted for when I started doing this.
So when you started to pursue music professionally, mm-hmm. what was the vision that you had, and then what does it look like now?
Okay, well, I'll tell you that my first vision, which I knew at the time, it felt naive. It felt like this can't actually be how this works, but this is all I know. Was people like Sam Beam from Iron and Wine, you know, Iron and Wine. His story was he was teaching at a film school in Florida. He was recording. They had a bunch of kids. He was recording in his bedroom when he had a chance. He had this huge stockpile of songs. A couple songs wind up on a compilation. It gets to Sub Pop. They hear it. They sign him. All of a sudden, he's touring the country and just growing and growing. And now, you know, he's living in Austin and has like an art studio and right. makes records and does his thing. And it looks great from over here, you know. So I thought that's how it goes, is you just sort of do something and then all of a sudden somebody sees you and they just pull you into the next level. But in my actual experience, it doesn't work like that at all. It's you make it work on whatever level you are, and then people do just help you onto the next level. That's a weird term. It sounds very kind of industry Hollywood, like I want to get to the next level, but it's there are practical concerns depending on how many people I have listening to my music or how big a draw I have at a venue. Like, those are really important things, and they affect how I do what I do, and they have been influenced way more by just people I've met randomly who all of a sudden tell 10 of their friends or invite me to their venue to play or whatever. Those are things I didn't realize that happens on this small level all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can also somehow be meshed with playing wallpaper music, like I called it before, which feels derogatory, but I don't know. It's that weird relationship where, you know, when people don't really have to listen that closely to what you do, they tend to pay you a lot more money to do it in this particular level, you know, that all of that can happen and I can write my own songs and do all of that. And if I continue doing this and kind of make myself more and more productive, that I can sort of grow into something bigger where, you know, my goal is to make a living purely on my own music and, you know, through touring, through licensing, through all of that, through, you know, producing other people's albums, all of that kind of stuff. But that's, you know, in my head, that's still like, no, that's what all of these famous people that I love did. And they just sort of, somebody else, you know, made that happen for them. But now I'm learning they just grew into that. They just got really busy.
One step at a time, mm-hmm. slowly over time. And then you look back and you go, wow.
Yeah.
That's where I was 2 years ago. Now I'm here. And it doesn't feel like it because it's gradual.
Yeah. And look at all of these roots I've planted. And look at this. Look at how my life looks now. You have to envision a life for yourself as a creative person, self-employed, doing all of this, making all of this yourself. You have to have a vision. And that vision, as you go along, gets totally changed as you learn about what it means to actually, you know, make a life, to like, to have a family and do all of this, to balance that, like to have to pay your mortgage or your rent and do all of this. Like it's all, to have to get from here to, you know, the other side of the country to play the glamorous gig, to fly on coach or to like take a rental car or whatever. There's so many variables and considerations that I, you know, just personally, I couldn't even imagine a couple years ago. And now, like, that's what my day is spent doing, like, is figuring all of that out.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I was just young and proud and foolish. I didn't ache to come clean. In that small room with no window, turning it out like some machine. I don't care how tough you think you are, you swam in a belly just like me. In an endless ocean, I wanna go back. Too mad I can see. When you close your eyes, it's not dark
enough. That's a song called Belly from Moon Palace on Around the Wood Stove.
Why do you write songs?
Well, you asked me that before when we were setting this up, and the word that came to me then was gratitude. And I keep chewing on that because there was something to that. And what came to me then was being grateful for all of this other music that has meant so much to me in my life. There's these moments I have in my life I think I'm going to remember them for a long time because they stretch back to when I was, you know, probably 8 or 9. And
there
are these pivotal moments where all of a sudden my world changes like that, you know? Just, I hear that song, I might have heard it for the first time, this might be the 100th time, but in this moment, that plugs into something in me and it makes me see the whole world differently. And all of those songs took somebody else being brave enough to write them and share them, you know. So I feel like I have to do that too, because, you know, if they could do it, you know, if they could be brave enough to do it, it's not about talent. Like, if they could just be, if they could put the energy into it, if they could, you know, get out of their own way and do it, and it could affect me so much, like, I feel like I have to.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk about your creative life, your songwriting, your music. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks. I've had a great time.
I wish you all the best with the new Moon Palace record. And I will link up to all of the places where people can find you online at the show post. So check that out. Thanks again, Chris.
Thanks.
You can learn more about Christopher Bonn and Moon Palace online. Visit ChristopherBonn.com or MoonPalaceMusic.com, respectively. Or you can link up from the show post on our website, WoodStoveHouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at WoodStoveHouse.com.